out of hiding. We got Biz with us today. We're going to break down the Final Four, talk Caitlin Clark, and get ready for this matchup against South Carolina, a special edition before we depart to Dallas of Locked On Hawkeyes.
Our Locked On Hawkeyes, your daily podcast on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in once again to the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. Available wherever you get podcasts. You can also see us on YouTube. That's where we are right now. You can watch me and Biz hanging out at work and trying to get through our day before we make our way to Dallas. Big thank you to everybody out there for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen and clicking that subscribe button on YouTube. Biz, well, it's been a while on the podcast side. We've, of course, been texting throughout the past weeks or so, but getting ready for a Final Four, something that, well, it was a long time ago. You were still in high school. I was in middle school 30 years ago when the Hawkeye women punched their ticket to the Final Four, and they're back at it again. How you doing?
Good. You know, how can you not be good right now, Trent? It's a great day, a great week to be a Hawkeye. So, you know, honestly, you and I have talked about it in the past with Iowa Athletics, and I wasn't sure this day would ever come again, whether it would be Final Four for the men's or, you know, Final Four for the women's or make the finals or, you know, make the champion, whatever they call it now, the playoffs for football. But it's here, and it's well-deserved, man. It's, you know, as an Iowa fan, you kind of just get ingrained that in those situations, like on a Sunday, that you just kind of ready yourself for the inevitable, which is, you know, we never quite get there, Trent. We talk about it all the time. The Iowa sports just isn't quite good enough, but that's not the case here. And let's be honest, that's mostly due to one person, Caitlin Clark. I mean, she she is absolutely amazing. When you think you've seen everything there is to offer from her, and she just takes it up another level. And she definitely took it up another level on Sunday. And, you know, if she's got another level to go to, she probably should do that again on Friday.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. We're going to get into the matchup, but Caitlin Clark, a 40-point triple-double. She's doing everything. She's controlling the game. Iowa gets down 8-0. Who scores the next 7 points? It's Caitlin Clark. Stretch out that lead in the second quarter, and she was doing it with her shots. And then playmaking ability, getting into Warnock and company. It was a complete game, but going into it, I grabbed Louisville in the points. I maybe was hedging my emotional bet side, and I do that quite often with the Hawkeyes and the betting side of it here. But they were just the better team. They had a stretch in the fourth quarter. They didn't have a field goal for 7 minutes. It didn't matter. They were clicking. They're playing well. And really, three straight games against teams that in the past have been difficult matchups. Physical teams, teams that play that style that are going to grind you. We've seen Iowa struggle so many times early in the 23 years of Lisa Bluter against those kind of physical teams, and they answered the bell every single time. But now, waiting at the end of the tunnel, it's the final boss here, the South Carolina team. They are just completely different than anything that Iowa's seen before.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that South Carolina team in a while, but let's focus on the positives first, Trent. I mean, as a basketball nerd, and I think you and I both clearly qualify as basketball nerds, that was just – it was so enjoyable to watch just because of the chess match of the whole game. I mean, Louisville threw the kitchen sink at her. They tried everything possible. I mean, the variety of different defenses they threw at her and a variety of different sizes of defenders they threw at her. I mean, they played box and one at one point. They put their tallest defender on her. They put their smallest defender. They put their quickest defender. They basically trapped her at half court. They picked her up full court. You know, they did everything. And what's amazing to watch with her is just her ability to pick up on that change. And they changed constantly. Pick up on that change, dissect it, and find where the weakness is. And she does it. I mean, sometimes, you know, you'll see her make a mistake or two, but by the time they run that same defense three possessions in a row, she's figured it out. And Louisville's credit, they tried everything. They adjusted and tweaked as much as they could, and they basically said, you know, Monica's not going to beat us. We're going to try to confuse Caitlin and hope to heck that our role players miss. And thank God they didn't. I mean, they were – obviously they're wide open, but you still got to make them and give credit to, you know, McKenna in the first half and – Gabby in the second half and Kate Martin throughout the game, they shot lights out. I mean, I know it's easy to say that, well, they're wide open, they should make them. But in that situation, the pressure of an Elite Eight, the amount of girls that stepped up under that pressure situation and played good basketball was pretty impressive to watch.
Everybody was able to do it, and just that performance. You sent it to me in this fashion, the greatest clutch performance in Iowa sports history. And Biz, I thought a little bit about Kevin Gamble hitting the shot in the Sweet 16 against Oklahoma in 1987. That was big. I don't know what he did overall in that game and what kind of performance. Have to pull up the box score for that one. What else jumped off the page to you when you went through kind of your thought process? Because, well, we've certainly never seen anything in that kind of spotlight to put up that kind of performance.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're talking a full game performance, there's no doubt it's the most clutch performance in Iowa history. You know, as Iowa fans, you know the clutch moments. There's been some amazing field goals. You know, go back to Rob Houtland or Daniel Murray or Keith Duncan multiple times. I mean, there's been a lot of clutch moments and people that have come through when the pressure's on for, you know, those two to three seconds. But to do it the way she did it from beginning to end, I don't think that we've ever seen that before. I went back and looked, and I thought, you know, maybe, you know, everybody, you know, the older generation talks about Ronnie Lester and how amazing he was the year they made the Final Four. I went back and looked. Ronnie Lester actually played really, really badly in the Elite Eight. Mm. He was like 3 for 14 and had like 10 points or something. I mean, he struggled. Sleepy Floyd, on the other hand, had 31 points. So, I looked, and obviously not saying that he didn't have a good performance, but it wasn't he didn't have an epic performance to get them to the Final Four. It was definitely a team win that got him there. But from beginning to end, I don't think there's any argument. It was the most clutch performance. Given the circumstances and what was at stake for her to put up that type of game, it has to be the clutchest performance in Iowa history.
It reminds me of
– And if I'm wrong, I'm sure somebody will tell
us. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Let us know. Kevin Gamble in that game that I mentioned, the Sweet 16 game, yeah, hit the shot, obviously, that won the game for him in overtime. But Gamble did go 11 to 13 from the floor there, including 2 of 2 from deep. 26 points, 4 assists in the game, 3 rebounds. That's a pretty good one. Still not at the same level we're talking about here with Caitlin Clark. And then what happened the game after against UNLV? There's always going to be a sour taste in the mouth because of that and the way that went, you know, in lore. But, you know, football performances, just nothing in that kind of spot. You know, if Iowa would have finished the deal, we could talk about Tavon Smith and C.J. Beathard in the 2015 Big Ten Championship game. That could be a conversation that is out there. But nothing in that kind of spot that just elevates to another level in a big moment that I can think of, certainly in football history either.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the Chuck Long days and that. I mean, Chuck had some great performances, but none of them to clinch a Rose Bowl or anything like that. I mean, you know, just given the magnitude of the situation, what was at stake, I can't think of there. I mean, maybe if I ask my dad, maybe something from the Fred Brown,
yes, you know,
the Fred Brown era back then, you know, or maybe even you go back to the 50s when they made the back-to-back Final Fours. But, you know, it was impressive to watch. And, you know, the amazing thing about it, you know, like I said, as an Iowa fan, you kind of get ingrained, you know, you get worried. And even when you're up by 15, 20, you think, oh, this is, you know, all it's doing is setting us up for disappointment. You know, you never got that feeling on Sunday. Like you said, there was a time when they got it down to 10, 12. Mm-hmm. I wasn't ever really worried because Caitlin wasn't going to let us lose. I mean, she just wasn't going to – I mean, she was not going to let us lose that game. And, you know, it's nice to have that feeling for once because maybe I'm just, you know, a skeptic. But as an Iowa fan, I feel like I don't get that feeling a lot.
Well, how did this team exactly turn the corner? You go back to the loss against Maryland. It was not very pretty. We're going to dissect that, get into the South Carolina matchup as well. As we roll through here, it's the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Today's episode of Locked On Hawkeyes is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, a presenting sponsor here. Iowa currently a 12-point dog in this one. With the tournament action heating up, no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That right now, new customers at FanDuel can get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's $1,000 back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, just go to FanDuel.com/lockdown to sign up today and claim your no-sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything. Money line, point spreads. How about that money line for the Hawkeyes? Nearly 6-1 to pull the upset against South Carolina and a whole lot more. All on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your shot at a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Trent and Biz back with you again here on Locked On Hawkeyes. All right, Biz. So what's different about this team? You know, you go back early in the season, that loss to Kansas State, that was ugly. Not a very good Kansas State team. Remember flipping on ESPN Plus and watching the last couple of minutes of that one. Some of those low moments of the season, going over to Illinois and kind of getting run out of the building by a team that's just kind of more athletic. And you're like, and that's those moments where I said, they're going to be good. They're going to be fine. Maybe they'll win another Big Ten tournament or even a regular season title. But getting to this point, I just didn't see it. So what's different in your mind? What has made this team different of what we're seeing right now?
Confidence. I mean, I really think it's just, I mean, Caitlin's confidence is finally worn off on everybody else, and they all believe as much as she does. I mean, I remember, I think it was Nebraska game. I think it was late January, early February. They barely beat Nebraska at home. And as a season ticket holder being at the game, I remember kind of thinking, this team is the exact same as last year. Yeah. They're a good team. They're fun to watch, but they're just not good enough. They're not good enough to make a Final Four. They're not good enough to make a serious run against, you know, the top five teams in the nation. And at that time, I think I was right. And now, clearly they are. What they've done in the last 6 to 8 weeks is pretty impressive, because they've went from a really entertaining, good but not great team to a, as we're seeing, an all-time great Iowa team, and potentially, I mean, we'll talk about it later, but it wouldn't shock me if we beat South Carolina. No. This team's, and it's not just because of Caitlin Clark, it's because of everybody else. I mean, everyone around her, I mean, the simple answer, and Gabby Marshall's played significantly better the last 6 weeks, but so is McKenna. She was hurt for a while, clearly took a while to get back, but she was great on Sunday night, and she just played really, I mean, she's played good, consistent basketball, and you know, Monica is what she is. I mean, she's going to give you a solid effort every time. But, you know, that confidence and belief, I mean, nobody is more confident or borderline cocky than Caitlin Clark. And that confidence, I think, has finally worn off on everybody else. And I think they finally have that same swagger she has. And when, you know, sports are a weird thing. When you have that confidence and swagger, that goes a long ways. And right now they got plenty of confidence. So
many great moments with this squad. One of my favorite quotes was after the game, and somebody asked Monica Zanano about, you know, playing with Caitlin Clark, and she just said, "That's my best friend. It's my best buddy, and it's just fun watching her be in that kind of spotlight." But how she has brought everyone along with her, what Caitlin has done, and that confidence factor. You're exactly right. When tense moments happen, you know, against Colorado, they're down in that game, and they're never nervous. They were never scared. That confidence has just filtered through. I think it's a perfect way to talk about what this squad is. And going into Friday night, they're not going to be scared. South Carolina, they might prove to be better, but they're not going to be scared of the moment. And having somebody like that and that belief. And there was a lot of talk also this week about when Caitlin committed and she was talking about a Final Four. I watched Caitlin a ton in high school, called a bunch of her games, and I rolled my eyes. It's not going to happen at Iowa. To get to that elite level, it's just not going to happen here. And even as it's been developing the last couple of years, but to have that kind of belief and for Coach Bluter to say, we're going to do it. We're going to do it together. I just thought that was one of the many great moments here, and a lot of so many fun quotes from this squad and from top to bottom what it is. But ultimately, it starts at the top with Caitlin Clark and what Coach Bluter and Fitz and the whole staff and Jan and company, what they've done in building this thing up and building that, yes, we can do this here at Iowa.
Well, and you can't say enough about the Iowa coaching staff and how they've worked with Caitlin over the last 3 years that she's been here. Because like you said, in high school, I got the chance to see her when she came over to Iowa City, and she was unbelievable. Played the best half of basketball I've ever seen a high school basketball player play. But then the second half, things didn't go her way, and she acted, quite honestly, like a spoiled brat. Yeah. And she did that quite regularly, even her freshman year here. Mm-hmm. And it would have been easy for a coaching staff to just kind of look the other way on that and be like, well, she's our star. That's just kind of goes with the territory. But they haven't done that, and they've never done that. They've always worked with her, been patient with her, and been like, hey, you've got to channel that desire and passion and just your competitiveness in a positive way. And they, to her credit, she's done a 180 when it comes to that. I really worried when we got her that she was not going to be a good teammate, mm-hmm. and she would not be someone that the other her teammates would want to rally around. And I was wrong, and I think you were wrong. I mean, she's an amazing teammate. I mean, just the way she's transformed her body language, her, you know, just demeanor on the court the last couple of years is amazing. I mean, she handles herself. I mean, everybody in the world can see she's unbelievably competitive. Yeah. But she's channeled that competitiveness and made everybody else around her better instead of, you know, the opposite. And that's a credit to her and a huge credit to the coaching staff, because they've held her to a high standard and she has met that standard and beyond. I mean, and now you see the reward of all that, the heart, and you know, this is 3 years coming. I mean, she has become a, you know, once in a lifetime, not only athlete, but once in a lifetime persona as well. I mean, she is going to be the face of women's basketball for Nike for the next decade or more. I mean, and that's just crazy to think. I mean, and she deserves it, and she will be great at it. And that's, I mean, it you can't say enough. It really, the whole thing kind of blows your mind, Trent. I mean, it really does. I mean, she's going to be the face of Nike, and whether people like it or don't like it, women's basketball is going to explode in this next decade. I mean, it's only going to get better, and there's going to be more Caitlin Clarks coming, and she's going to be the reason why.
4.5 million people probably going to be tuned in on Friday night. 2.5 million watched the Iowa-Louisville game. And regardless of what idiots from Louisville said in Twitter after that was released, that, yeah, that was us because, you know, we have more program history. I'm just stop. It's Caitlin Clark. We know the effect here. We know how big it is, the NIL deals and the amount of money that she makes. And seeing Magic Johnson and Kevin Durant and LeBron James and Billie Jean King and just on and on, all these people talking about Caitlin Clark, that doesn't happen for Aaliyah Boston. It doesn't. This is a transformative player. This is something we have never seen before and probably won't see anything going forward like this before. And it's happening in our state, and it's happening to the team that we root for. It's unthinkable that we're at the point. We're doing a half hour today on women's basketball. I mean, when we started doing podcasts, it'd be a minute here, 2 minutes there, end of a kind of podcast kind of thing. And that's what it's been all week long. I've seen the numbers. I've seen the downloads. I've seen the people and how interest has grown just with this team. And it's Caitlin Clark and the effect that she has here. And she's a rock star wherever she goes. It's the Beatles. And, well, I guess we don't have really, you can't make a decision between, you know, who's John or what. But there's one at the top here. And she has dominated this. It's been just so much fun to watch this and see how everybody. I love Tony Kornheiser. His podcast today, his open, was about Caitlin Clark. Then he brings on Michael Wilbon. What do they talk for another 10 minutes? Caitlin Clark. They're not talking about the men's Final Four. On these two heavy heads at ESPN, what they're talking about, not because they have to, because this is a separate entity from ESPN, because they want to, is Caitlin Clark in Iowa.
Well, and you mentioned Aaliyah Boston, and you're right. She's not the transformative athlete that Caitlin is, but I can't stand when people try to compare the two of them, because A, they're totally different basketball players, but B, you listen to her talk and you listen to her, how she handles herself. She's a phenomenal spokesman for the game of basketball also. I mean, she's always upbeat. You watch her play. She's an incredibly unselfish teammate. She's probably too unselfish. Yeah, I mean, people talk about, oh, she only averages 14 points a game. So what? She could average 30 if she wanted to. The fact of the matter is she only plays half the game because South Carolina has been destroying teams. If you watch her play, I mean, she's a totally different player than Caitlin Clark, but the game of women's basketball, I think you're going to see just an absolute explosion in the next decade, because I think you're just going to see, I mean, the talent level has just changed so much in the last decade, and I think we're only starting to touch on it. And I think it's because of people like Aaliyah Boston and Caitlin Clark that the next generation is going to be, I mean, women's basketball is going to be a blast to watch going forward. And hopefully it's a blast to watch on Friday, Trent.
We will get into that when we come back here. A breakdown, Iowa, South Carolina. What do the Hawkeyes have to do to pull off, which would be an ultimate shocker here across the nation? We'll talk about that next year on Locked On Hawkeyes. Trent and Biz back with you one final time on the Locked On Hawkeyes podcast. Thanks for making Locked On Hawkeyes your first listen every day. Biz, it's South Carolina. They're undefeated. They have dominated everybody. They've toyed with everybody. Ole Miss took them to overtime. UConn played them within four about a month and a half ago, I guess now, in a non-conference game that was played there in the middle of conference schedule. But overall, they are tough. They are physical. They are big. This is a tall one. I really love this. I had somebody on my radio show earlier this week equate this to UNLV Duke Part 2, the Final Four game. What was that, 1991, when year before they played the national championship, absolutely obliterated. Nobody gave Duke a chance, and they went out and shocked the world. It would be that kind of upset here in basketball if Iowa can pull this off Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, things got to go our way for us to win. But I've watched South Carolina multiple times during the tournament. They've got flaws. They're not a perfect team by any means. And I think some of their flaws are mesh well with us a little bit. I'd be more worried if South Carolina was going to plod up and down the court and slow it down and try to, just beat out a 58-42 victory. But they're not going to do that. They're going to get up and down the court with us. And you get Caitlin Clark up in transition and you get her the opportunity to get out and running, we got a chance. And, this is not exactly a hot take, Trent, but we got to do two things. Obviously, we got to shoot the ball well, and we've got to limit their rebounding. Yeah. Are we going to stop their rebounding? Absolutely not. Mediocre rebounding teams get 10 to 12 offensive rebounds against us. We're not a good rebounding team. We're never going to be a good rebounding team. But if we can limit it to, what are the average, 18, 19? If we can keep them to their average or under, we got a chance. Because South Carolina is not a good shooting team. And they talk about the three-point shooting, but they're even worse from 4 feet away. They miss a million layups. But then they also it's like watching a little kid's basketball game where they just keep throwing it up and you take 11 shots until one goes in. That's what they do sometimes. They get it up on the rim and they like their chances. And so, we gotta somewhat control them rebounding, and then we gotta shoot well. We gotta shoot 40% or better for 3-point range.
Yeah, I think at minimum 12, probably 15 threes need to go down. Need to have not just Caitlin, but a bunch of players are going to have to knock down shots. I think Sonano, where she's going to be at her best, is not posting up. It's not throw it into the block and have her go to work. That's not going to work against what they are defensively and the size that they have with Boston and Catalo. They are just so big inside. It's going to be her screen and roll, cut to the basket where she kind of gets it on the catch and goes right up with it. Those kind of plays. Shoot it from the outside. You mentioned the rebounding. These numbers were nuts. So finding analytical numbers for women's basketball, a little bit more difficult than it is in the men's game. I can't just go to KenPom, but I did find some. They are, no surprise, South Carolina, number one in the country in offensive rebounding rate. They get 48.7% of available rebounds on the offensive side of things, meaning basically half the time they miss a shot, they get the offensive rebound. That shows you just how good they are on the boards. They get 75.7% of defensive rebounds, so probably not going to be a whole lot of second chance opportunity as well. Kind of goes hand in hand. When you get an open shot, you got to hit that open shot, because if you miss it, there's just not going to be a whole lot there. Those rebounding numbers are through the roof. And we know Iowa's great offensively. So is South Carolina, though they don't score at the same level because they don't have the same amount of possessions in a game that Iowa does. They're the number one offensive efficiency team in the country. Iowa is number two. So when they get the ball, they're going to score. Keep them off the boards. Same thing. I said 12 to 15 threes, keep them in the 12 to 15 offensive rebound. You got a chance at least going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, and my guess, the Louisville game entirely changed when we went triangle and two and said, we're going to deny Van Lith. We're going to deny the Car Girl. If the other three beat us, so be it. I think we're going to see something somewhat similar to that on Friday, because I think they're going to have – I'm guessing Gabby Marshall is going to guard the Zaya Cook girl and try to take her out of the game and just keep her out of it. And then somebody's going to have to be fronting Boston. And then I think you basically stay with the other three people on the court. You make your buckets, we're going to lose. And it's something similar to that. I think they're going to play their triangle and two or box and one and try to keep the ball out of Cook's hands as much as possible and make everybody else make the decisions. Because you watch them, she's clearly their – she's the brains of the operation. She does a lot of things for them. And if we can frustrate her and then, like you said, limit the rebounding opportunities to under 20, you never know.
Stolke, she's going to be a big part of this too, just because of the size and athleticism that she plays with against this front line. Probably a game like we saw against Louisville, she's going to have to play 16, 18 minutes. Can you steal a good 6-8 minutes out of O'Grady. I think that would help inside. And, you know, we come down to foul trouble. Also, the way this game is called. You know, Maryland, they were fired up after the game. They thought they got a bad whistle, and I agree. I think they did get a bad whistle. That game turned in the second quarter, and it was a lot of ticky-tack fouls that are being called on Maryland and not so much on the other side against South Carolina. This game is called tight, and they're keeping the hands off of Caitlin Clark and not allowing Beal, who is a great defender, her to be clutching and grabbing up and down the floor, whatever she wants to do defensively against Caitlin. Another part that it's unfortunate, but the way this game is officiating is also going to be a part of it.
Yeah, honestly, so I get so tired of talking about women's basketball officiating. It's not good. It's not. But I honestly think one of the things that we've done a lot better this year than last year is we've toned that out. Last year against Creighton, I thought we did a terrible job as a team and as a fan base of we got into that trap of blaming the officiating. And this year, you haven't heard a coach, a player, or anything say a peep about officiating after the end of the games. And I think, you know, one way or the other, figure it out. Figure out how they're calling it and play to it. And that's, you know, I think Bluter's great at that. And I think Clark's great at that. So, I don't know. They're going to, let's be honest, at the end of the game, there's going to be more foul calls on us than there is them because they are a bigger physical team than us. And they're going to go in more than us. We're going to shoot 33s. They're going to shoot 10. Right. So, at the end of the game, simple math says they're probably going to have more fouls and more free throws than we are. And, you know, so, yeah, I'm not overly worried about it. I think the NCAA is not dumb. They know who people are there to watch. Clark's not going to get – they're not going to swallow the whistle on her. I mean, are they going to call every single time she flails? No. But she'll get her calls. She does. I mean, I don't know. As an Iowa fan, I get tired of the blame the officials thing because we've gotten some pretty favorable whistles, I think, the last few games.
I'm with you there. So. Speaking of Beal, she's from the Quad Cities. Boy, and I know Lisa and the crew, they recruited her incredibly hard. Be nice to have her on.
I did not know she was from the Quad Cities.
Yeah, and one of the South Carolina assistants, somebody told me too, is a former Hawkeye player that maybe was on even the 93 team. I hadn't looked into that.
I did see that. Somebody said that they've got a connection to the 93 team. I don't know who it is. But.
Got a couple of connections there, and looking back to 93 – I remember the win against Tennessee. I don't even remember the Final Four game, at least not vividly, of that team. And different team with C. Vivian and what she was able to do, obviously, going to be really cool. Saw that she reached out to the staff and Coach Bluter and congratulated them and had some great teams here. And 30 years later, we're back at it again, Biz.
Yeah, and we're both going to be there, Trent. It's you know, I think we're both smart enough to know this is truly potentially a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So, we're taking advantage of it, and more importantly, we're taking our daughters to it. So, pretty cool.
Gonna be great. We'll see you in Dallas, Biz.
All right, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.